taken the times that we are together, just to consider with you some of the brides in the Old Testament. And today we'd like to think of Rebecca. And I think you could write over this chapter, the call of the bride. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose, and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. Verse 15. It came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. The servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted, and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and give him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. The man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, the word really is a golden jewel, of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands, of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. It came to pass, when he saw the jewel and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels of the well. Now, looking further down the chapter, verse 52, it came to pass that when Abram's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. The servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother, and to her mother, precious things. They did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. He said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. They called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. They sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abram's servant, and his men. They blessed Rebecca and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gift of those which hate them. Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in a field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word. What a delightful chapter this is that we have read from. Genesis chapter 24. It is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. And well it might be. Because in type, in picture and in shadow, I think the truth of this chapter really spans from eternity to eternity. At the very commencement of the chapter, we have read of three persons. We have read of a father, and a son, and a servant. And I see them in Hebron, the place of fellowship, the place of communion. And I begin to learn there something of the Father's thoughts. I begin to learn something of the Father's mind. His thoughts are revealed. And the thoughts of the Father's heart is this, that there might be a bride found for the Son. You know, dear child of God, that takes you and I back into that dateless, timeless past. I begin to learn something of the thoughts of the Godhead. And the wonder of it all to my heart is this, that you and I were in divine thoughts. That ought to be a wonder to all our hearts. Well might the hymn writer say, before thy hands had made the sun to rule the day, or earth's foundation laid, or fashioned Adam's clay, what thoughts of peace and mercy flow in thy great heart of love, O God. And so I begin to learn in the chapter something of the thoughts of the heart of God. But you know, dear child of God, if at the outset of this chapter, my mind is taken into that dateless, timeless past. You know, when I come to the end of the chapter, my mind is projected into the future. And what do I find? I find now that this bride has been found. The bride that was ever in the mind and heart of the Father. Her heart has been won. She has been guided through the desert sand. Until eventually she is brought right into the presence of the Son to share his love, to share his comfort, and to share that forever. Well, my Paul just sum it up in those brief but delightful words. He says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a comfort then to your heart and to mine. What a chapter it is. It is really the chapter of the call of the bride. I noticed not only the subject of the chapter. I thought it was most delightful just to see the setting of the chapter. Just to see what it's found. And to see that it has been written under a divine pen. Just to see it coming in after chapter 23. And coming just before chapter 25.
When you say we can follow that simpler. But what I mean is this. Coming in after the truth of chapter 23. What do I learn in Genesis 23? I learn there that Sarah has died. The wife of Abraham has died. I think that Sarah, undoubtedly, is a picture of Israel. And in chapter 23, I see Israel set aside. But dear child of God, it only opens up the way. For this delightful chapter, chapter 24, the winning of the heart of the bride. You know, dear child of God, we're living in a wonderful age. There has never been an age like this. It is the age of the winning of the heart. I trust your heart has been won. Like the heart of Rebecca in the chapter. Her heart was won to a man she had never seen. You know, well might Peter write and say, whom having not seen. We love? No. Peter had seen her. He says, whom having not seen, ye love. I trust that's true. It's the age of the winning of the heart. In chapter 24, I notice at the end of the chapter when Rebecca is brought in to the presence of Isaac. What do I read next? How does chapter 25 commence? Then again, Abram married a wife, and her name was Keturah. How delightful then just to see the setting of the chapter. Israel set aside, bringing in now this wonderful dispensation of grace. But then taken up again. For remember, there is a glorious future for Israel in a coming day. I think Simeon had both these blessed truths in mind. In Luke's Gospel chapter 2. When he took that babe of 6 weeks old into his arms. And looked into his face and said, he was a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's chapter 24. And then he says, the glory of thy people. Israel. That's chapter 25. And so we notice with delight I trust the lovely setting of the chapter. You know, in this chapter, as we have mentioned, we have the will of the Father. That is brought before us in the opening verses. We will notice towards the end of the chapter that there must be the willingness on the part of the bride. We will notice in the closing verses the waiting and the watching of the Son and the welcome he's going to give her. But you know, something has impressed itself upon my heart as I have read this chapter. And that is the work of the servant. You know, no bride would have been found. Her heart would never have been won if it hadn't have been for the work of the servant. You know, his name is not mentioned in this chapter. He's one of the unnamed servants in our Bible. There are many. I think they are a delightful picture of the divine Spirit of God. You remember when the Savior spoke about the Holy Spirit in the upper room. He said, he will not speak of himself or speak from himself. He shall testify of me. And you'll notice that is the characteristic of the servant here in the chapter. He's not speaking about himself, but over and over again, he delights to speak about his master, and he delights to speak about the glory of the master's son. I noticed in the chapter the importance of the servant. We have read that he ruled over all that Abraham had. He's no ordinary servant. A servant that rules over all in a house. I have read that all the goods of his master were in his hand. Everything that belonged to Abraham belonged to him. Oh, could I impress upon every heart this afternoon the importance of this servant. You know, oftentimes, When we hear the Spirit of God spoken about, He is spoken about as if He were just an influence. My brother, my sister, He is a divine person. Equal in power and might to God the Father and to God the Son. Again, I think of the ministry of the Savior in the upper room. He said to His own, He says, I will send another comforter. And that word for another is another of the same kind. He says, I'm going to send you one the same as myself. You know, there's something that's delighted my heart of recent days. As I pondered afresh this lovely chapter, and thought about the servant of the well, I thought about the son of the well. John chapter 4. Read them down. What a parallel there is in the two passages. Both at the well first. We've read about this servant. He ran to meet her. Such was his interest in Rebecca. What do I read of the Savior in John 4? He must needs go through Samaria. You'll notice that both started a conversation. You think of the Savior in John 4 to that woman at Samaria? Give me the drink. What does the servant say in Genesis 24? Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher. And so you can go down. The parallels are seen as you go down the both sections. I send another, one of the same. Okay. The importance of the servant. I notice too the interest of the servant. You cannot be but impressed with that as you read this chapter. This servant, dear child of God, has only one thing before him. There is only one vision that fills his view. There is only one objective. And that is the finding of this bride. And the winning of her heart. And the bringing her into the presence of the Son. And his work is not complete until that takes place. He ran to me. I couldn't help but think of another lovely expression in Luke 15. I see a prodigal boy return. Confessing his need. It says the father ran to meet him. He ran to me. I thought of an Isaiah in Isaiah 6. When he confessed his need, woe is me, then flew one of the seraphims. Oh, the interest of heaven. The interest is expressed here. He ran to me. I noticed the first thing he did was to reach your ear. That's where it all started, you know. That's where it all started with every one of us here this afternoon that are saved. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Well might we read in our Bible so often, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That's where it all started in our own experience in unconverted days. And I want to say this in passing. There will be no progress in divine things without the hearing ear. He reached her ear, but he did more than that. At the well, he reached her the jewel of the half shekel weight. Oh, that delighted my heart. The half shekel. My mind went to Exodus 30. Was that not the price of atonement? You know, everything they brought to the tabernacle had to be a free will offering, apart from one thing. There was one thing compulsory, and that was the half shekel. The divine decree was this, The rich shall not give more. The poor shall not give less than the half shekel. The price of atonement, well might the boards of the tabernacle rest upon it. What a foundation. I trust we're all resting on that foundation today. I trust we all have received the jewel of the half shekel. Wait. Mind you, dear child of God, nothing more is needed. But nothing less will satisfy the heart of God. I did notice in Exodus 30 in relation to that, that the shekel is 20 gerah. So the half shekel is 10 gerah. I'm back again in Luke 15. I begin to understand now why the woman will light the candle and search the house so diligently. What's she looking for? She only has 9 gerah. But she's looking for the 10th. For she knows that nothing less than the half shekel, than the 10 gerah, will ever satisfy the heart of God. Well might she rejoice and say, I found the peace that was lost. I trust we're all rejoicing today in that jewel. For what a jewel it is, the jewel of the half shekel. I noticed when she went back home, it says Laban saw the jewel. He saw she had something now that she didn't have when she left home that morning. What a testimony. I want to say in passing, dear child of God, there is nothing that speaks louder in the community than just if others, our neighbours, and those we come in contact with, would see in your life and mine something of that jewel. Something of the jewel of the half shekel weight. He saw there is something different about her now. You remember those early disciples? It says they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. They didn't like their preaching. And they didn't like what they saw. But they had to confess that links with Christ, they had the jewel of the half shekel. Yeah. Sad to say, I never read of Laban ever receiving it for himself. Oh, he was impressed with the gifts. I think that was all. The true heart of Laban comes out in later chapters. You know, there are many like that today. As we go round the doors from time to time, you know, we meet folk and they're very impressed with the gifts. Oh, they'll talk to you for as long as you want to talk to them about the gifts of the Spirit. But begin to speak to them about the jewel of the half shekel weight. Begin to speak to them about the loveliness of Christ and the value of his atoning death upon the cross. And somehow or other, the conversation, I have found, usually comes to an abrupt halt. They're just like Laban. They're only interested in the gifts. But now I notice the inquiry of the servant. He says to Rebecca, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge you? What's he wanting now? Not only a place in the heart. He's longing for a place in the home. You know, I thought of this when I was reading recently in the book of the Acts, chapter 16. I thought of Lydia.
It says of her, whose heart the Lord opened.
That was a divine one. But then I see the evidence of that. She says to the servants of the Lord, if you've judged me faithful unto the Lord, she says, come into my house and obey. The heart was open, then the home was open. And so he's longing for a place in the home. I notice when he comes into the home that he begins to open his treasure. The treasures of silver, the jewels of silver, the jewels of gold, and the raiment of Isaac. You know, he still delights to do that. I trust we do have time to sit down in the home and just to open this blessed book. And let this divine servant open the treasure to us. And bring out of it the jewels of silver. That that would speak of redemption. The work of Christ. He delights to do that. And the jewels of gold. Something of the absolute deity of the Lord Jesus. And then to take on something of the character, the raiment of an Isaac. I cannot develop that, but I trust that you do that in your own time. What jewels there are, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. But then he says, send me away. Well, they say, let the damsel abide a few days, at the least 10. I notice the margin of my Bible says, let her abide a full year, at the least 10 months. Maybe that's the idea. But the servant isn't content with that. He says, hinder me not. Hinder me not. Well, they say, we'll call the damsel and inquire at her now. And so Rebecca is brought in. And they say to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? Well, a searching question. Oh, maybe you have preached the gospel from this lovely chapter. And maybe you have preached that this is now her conversion. I wouldn't like to spoil your sermon, because they're difficult enough to get. But I don't think this is her conversion. I think her conversion took place at the well. The moment she received from the servant that jewel of a half shekel weight, she had links with Isaac. It was a mark of ownership. The jewel for the forehead, the bracelets for the hand. You know, there's a man in a coming day, I learn in Revelation 13. And he's going to insist upon the mark on the forehead and the mark on the hand. It will be a mark of allegiance to him. I believe that when Rebecca received that jewel, she had links already with Isaac. Well, what have we now? If we haven't her conversion, what do we have? We have, dear child of God, what ought to follow conversion. And that is consecration. Wilt thou go with this man? I think it's one of the most solemn questions and searching questions in our Old Testament. I ask it to my own heart this afternoon, as I would ask it to every heart in the company. Wilt thou go with this man? What a question. Oh, she might well have said, I'm quite happy to have links with Isaac. But I'm quite content where I am. But what a decision. As it were, to put our hand in his.
Oh, we were speaking, or we were singing, at the opening of our meeting about his leading. Won't you prepare to put our hand in his? And to know his guidance and leading along the way. I say again, what a solemn searching question. Wilt thou go with this man? She rises to the occasion. She says, I will go. And with delight we can read those words. She followed the man. Nothing sweeter in life than that. Nothing more blessed, dear child of God, in life than that. Oh, for the conscious knowledge of it more and more day by day. Just as it were, to put our hand in his. And in some little measure at least, to follow the man.
You know, the Savior said of the Holy Spirit, he said, he will abide with you forever. You know, that was going to be true of Rebecca.
With her along the pathway. But for a conscious knowledge, just to know that every step she took, and every day she lived, from that day on, until she would meet her Isaac and be taken into his presence, she was ever going to know the comfort and the guidance and direction of this man along the way. Wonder how she passed the time.
How do we pass the time?
I don't think it was talking about the weather, though that is a useful start to any conversation. I don't think it was talking about the scenery. Not much to talk about in the wilderness, in the desert. But could you not imagine her? That every time they would stop along the way, could you not imagine her going round to the servant and saying to him, now tell me a little more about Isaac. What's he like? Describe him to me again. Would she ever tire to hear about him? Even though he would describe her over and over again, she's going to spend the rest of her days with him. Surely she would want to know as much as possible about him before she met him. My brother, my sister, you and I are going to spend eternity with Christ. I trust that the longing of our heart, in some little measure at least, would be like Paul, that I might know him. And so she followed the man. But then I think of Isaac coming out. Does Isaac come out by the way of the well, the Heroi? You know, the last time we read of Isaac is in Genesis chapter 22. He's on Mount Moriah. He's placed upon the altar. But more than that, the writer of the Hebrews tells me in Hebrews 11 that Abram received him, as it were, in a figure from the dead. Not only in death, but in resurrection on the mount. It is delightful to notice that if I read of Abram coming down from the mount, I never read of Isaac doing that.
In picture, he's still on the mount.
And it is delightful to notice in Genesis 22, we have our first reference to Rebecca. No thought of Rebecca until he's been upon the altar. But now he's coming out. He's coming out by the way of the well, the Heloah. That word means the well of him who liveth and seeth me. What a precious truth. That the man who has been upon the altar, the man who has been upon Moriah, is the man who lives and the man who sees. Bless God for that. He lives. That's the supremacy. He sees. That's the simple thing. That ought to comfort all our hearts. He not only lives, but he sees. He sees every need. But he's coming out. You know, he didn't meet Rebecca at his well. Nor did he meet her at her well. He came out to meet her. And one of these days, perhaps today, our heavenly Isaac's coming out to meet us. Is that not what Paul is reminding the saints of Thessalonica about? In 1 Thessalonians 4, he says the Lord himself, he's coming out himself, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming out to meet us. Did he come out to meditate? Margin of my Bible says he came out to pray. I wonder what he was praying for. Well, listen to our heavenly Isaac pray. We hear him pray in John 17. He says, Father, I will. You know, that's not the way we pray. We pray, Father, if thou wilt. But he's speaking as an equal. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Is that not the prayer of an Isaac? Is he not longing that the one that the Father has spoken about, the one whom the servant has found, might be with him, that she might share his glory? I noticed he came out to pray at the eventide, just before the night. I think we can feel the night shadows falling. And what an awful night it will be. But dear child of God, there's a man coming out of the eventide. Before the night will ever come, he's coming out of the eventide. Well might that couple say in Luke 24, abide with us. It's toward even. And the day is far spent. He's coming out of the eventide to meet her. As he lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. Says of Rebecca that she lifted up her eyes and she saw Isaac. I try to imagine it. What must it have meant? His first glimpse of her and her first glimpse of him. You ever try to think of it? Our first glimpse of him. And for the blessed Christ of God to look upon us and to see something of the travail of the soul and the sorrow of death.
You know, she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in a field to meet us? The servant had said, it is my master. I noticed that up until this, when he spoke about his master, he was always speaking about Abram. Now he's speaking about the son. It is my master. I think we could write over that the words of the Saviour in John 10. He says, I and my Father are one. So she lighted off the camel. Well, she might. John says in Revelation 1, says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet. He was dead. So she took a veil and covered herself. And 1 Corinthians 11 had never been written. Yet she covered herself ere she would enter his presence. As he took her into his mother's service tent. And he loved her. The second reference in our Bible to love. First is chapter 22. Take now thy son, thine only Isaac whom thou lovest. The love of a father for a son, that must come first. But now, in this delightful chapter at the close of it, we have the love of that same son for the bride of his heart. He took her into his mother's service tent, and he loved her. And then we read that he was comforted. He was comforted. He found comfort. You know, as Paul finishes that lovely section in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what does he say? He says, wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort one another with these words. Oh, what a comfort it will be for Christ. I trust that in our meditation this afternoon, we have sought to comfort one another with these words. I thought as I close of Paul Gerhardt's lovely hymn in our believer's hymn, hymn 155, written in 1642. Lost his wife after 13 years of marriage. Lost 4 children in infancy. Took his pen and he wrote that hymn in which we call the Dark Ages. Midst the darkness, storm and sorrow, one bright gleam I see. Well, I know the blessed morrow. Christ will come for me. Oh, the blessed joy of meeting. Oh, the desert pass. Oh, the wondrous words of speaking. He shall speak at last. He and I together entering. Those bright courts above. He and I together share. Oh, the Father. Our Father, we bow with grateful hearts in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this blessed hope. We thank thee for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This blessed hope that illumines with beams most cheering the hours of night. We thank thee for the one who has been upon the altar. We bless thee that perhaps today he's coming out to meet us. Help us to live in the good of it. Help us, our Father, just to occupy until he come. We commit thy word to thee and pray thy blessing to be upon it to thy people. We would think, our Father, again of the meeting tonight. Pray that unsaved ones would be gathered in. We would long that thy voice would be heard, that thy presence would be felt, that thine enablement would be given, and that someone tonight would find the Saviour. We ask it as we do give thanks, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe we could just sing in closing part of hymn number 522. 522 as we close. Jesus is coming, sing the glad word. Coming for those he redeemed by his blood. Coming to reign as the glorified Lord. Jesus is coming again. Just the first verse in the chorus, standing.